This is not a time to give up. This is not a time to jump ship. This is not a time to be negative. But there is no doubt that the Celtics flexed their muscles on Saturday in a way that struck some fear in the fan base. But you washed that off you on Sunday, and we are back at the Garden. Let's win a game at home, for God's sakes. Take a 3-1 lead and then really paint them in a corner. You got to flush it, Boomer. That's what they say. Flush those losses. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, you are exactly right, Jay. You do have to flush it. And quite frankly, you talk about a disappointing performance. I mean, given the ticket prices, given the excitement, given the expectations, given the fact that they won their first two games in Boston, it was about as flat as you could ever expect a team to be at home, especially, you know, Jalen Brunson played poorly. He had an off game, much like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown had off games in the first two games. He was just off. I mean, you could just see it with the way he was handling the ball, the couple of the turnovers, the one pass he tries to throw on a give and go. Just impossible for Ananobi to get the ball. I mean, it's just, he was out of sorts for whatever reason. But I will say the biggest problem that the Knicks have right now, in my eyes, and this goes back to even the games that they won in games one and two, is that they're chasing the game the entire game.
Yeah.
And it takes so much energy to come back from that. I mean, you take a look at, you know, game one, they were down 16 points at halftime. Game two, they were down 9 points at halftime. Game three, they were down 25 points at halftime. I mean, you can't continue to play this way. And really what it highlights the piss poor starts that they're going through. And, you know, on Saturday, it was like the first four possessions were like, are they too nervous? I mean, like, what's going on? Like, we're not answering what Boston had to offer. And yeah, Boston hit 20 out of 40 threes. The Knicks only hit 5 out of 25 threes. Boston has better shooters. We know that going into this series. Their shooters were off the first couple of games. And I would tell you that while Jason Tatum had a much better game than he did in game one and game two, and Jaylen Brown a much better game than he had in game one and game two, I think Kristaps Porzingis added more. Pritchett added more. This is the first time that I'm sure somewhere along the line this year, this was the case. But every single Knick starter was minus 21 or worse in this game. That's how bad this game really was. And it's unfortunate because the Garden looked like it was packed and it was loud. It was energized. And I've been there as a Ranger fan and a Knick fan and have left there disappointed like everybody did on Wednesday before. I mean, on Saturday before. In other playoff series, but that's what playoff series are. They are ups and downs. And now, if you ask me, what the Knicks need is they need to do what the Pacers did last night or yesterday. They need to come back and show that, you know, that they can hang with this team, because, you know, the Pacers just ran the Cavaliers right out of the building yesterday.
Yeah, and they've been dealing with their injury issues, and hopefully the Knicks are not. The Karl-Anthony Towns finger thing is something now, as he's asked about it after the game, and he's asked point blank, is it broken? And he goes, it is what it is. He's like, well, does that mean it's broken? He's like, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I'll let them tell you.
Well, it's on his left hand, so, you know, he's a right-handed shooter. And
I just don't want any excuses now with this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Stay healthy for once. If we're going to go down, let's go down healthy, not like last year. I hated to see that part of it. But it's one of the weirder series so far that I've ever watched, because the Knicks have barely led. I mean, they really have led.
Oh, they're not outplaying the Celtics.
Like 5% of these games they've had a lead in. And when they're down, they're getting their asses whooped. And they're still up two games to one in the series.
You want to know why the NBA game itself sucks?
Well, especially in the regular season.
No, it does suck, because it's all three-pointers. And then in the case of what the Celtics are doing to the Knicks, and I would do the same thing as the Hakimich. It just sucks. That's not basketball. There's no flow to it. It's a game of threes, and then it's a game of, like, Joe Mazzulla decided, hey, we're just going to hack this kid, and he can't hit free throws. And everybody feels bad for him. Everybody knows it. And, you know, when you look at the Knick bench compared to the Celtics bench, you say to yourself, you know, that there's no shot there. There's, you know, the Knicks haven't outscored the bench for the Celtics, I don't believe, in this series. And, you know, you have a legitimate kid like Pritchard coming off the bench, and Kristaps Porzingis, who played his best game in this series. Maybe he's feeling a little bit better. But, you know, it is... the Knicks are not as good as the Celtics. And in order to beat the Celtics, they have to be on and the Celtics have to be off. And that's as simple as it gets. I mean, that's the NBA in a nutshell.
Well, especially with the Celtics. Now, the Pistons series was different. I mean, definitely the three-pointer had a lot to do with it, as it does in every series, but not like this.
Yeah, because they didn't have shooters like Indiana has. They don't have shooters like Cleveland has. They don't have shooters like OKC
has.
Yeah,
it's not every team. It's not every team, but it's certainly the Celtics in the way that they play. I mean, they won a championship with their three-point shooting last year. We've seen what the Golden State Warriors have done, built a dynasty based on great three-point shooting. So, yeah, I mean, when the Celtics are off, that's the only chance you have to beat them is when they can't hit threes.
You know, it's amazing. Sometimes I was watching Tatum a little bit on just trying to isolate on him to see where he goes on the basketball court.
He just stays right back
there.
He
barely goes underneath a three-point line. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how far the top of the three-point line is to the other top. Right. How far is that, do you know?
Is that
like 30 feet?
Yeah, but he's it's almost like he's got
it's
like...
It's got to be like 40 feet. It's got to be like 40 feet in between the two, I'm thinking.
He's got like one of those invisible fences on, you know, where the dogs can't go past a certain thing.
I'm like, this guy does not sweat at all.
No.
I mean, and it's just... This is where I'm going. This is where I'm going on offense, and this is where I'm going on defense. And then maybe every fourth or fifth possession that we'll have on offense, maybe I'll take it to the hole and I'll jam it.
Yeah, I feel like it.
It really. I mean, it doesn't. I know it's intense, and I know the guys are playing hard. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the 3-point game, if they're off, the Knicks win. If they're on, the Knicks don't have a chance.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, the game had, I know that the Garden was fired up in the beginning, but I mean, and you were thinking, oh, maybe there's a chance that they can come back again, but you really didn't even get a chance to get started in that place on Saturday, which is a shame, and you're right. I mean, you make the choice to buy the tickets, especially when they're that expensive, and you know there's no guarantee of a win, but I mean, my God, imagine spending that much money going to that game and just watching a team get walloped from tip to buzzer.
The other player that actually had more of an impact in this game than he did on the first two games is Al Horford. You know, he was 3-for-4 from 3 points. He had 15 points. He had 9 rebounds. So he was a little bit, you know, better and more involved than he was in the previous two games as well. So, I mean, the Knicks are up 2-1. They got to win game 4 tonight. And it's still not over. And I think it was Jaylen Brown who said it after the game on Saturday. He was like, hey, man, you got to win 4 games. That's right. You got to win 4 games. All right. Yeah, it's very disappointing on Saturday. But, you know, this Knicks team has heart, just like the Celtics have a champion's heart. This Knicks team has heart. I look forward to seeing it again tonight. I think they'll be much better. I just can't imagine. I mean, and you remember what I was saying before this started, that Thibodeau has to use his timeouts judiciously. Mm-hmm. He has to figure out where the runs are happening and how to stop the momentum if he could. You know, he didn't do that on Saturday at all. And then the whole Hack and Mitch thing is just becoming ridiculous now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a yip situation, another air ball from him. It's certainly in his head, and it's different when he's probably practicing in the gym and nobody around, and he gets out there. I mean, it's tough, and you know he's giving maximum effort. He's not the only big man who's had to struggle with this, but it's on display. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's still one of the 2-plus players in the series for the Knicks, Deuce McBride.
Which is amazing. But, you know, they're not out there as much. I mean, they could be minus, and he could be minus if he played a lot more. But the free throw thing is killing them, and this is the number one thing that they're going to have to figure out this offseason.
Let me ask you, would you consider starting him?
I would. I definitely would, and I would definitely think about bringing Josh Hart off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason I say that is, all right, yes, all 4 quarters are equal, yada, 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 but they're really not in basketball. But if you put him out there in the beginning of the game, then you're not as prone to get the Hack of Mitch thing as you're farther away from the bonus. Plus, you're getting off to these horrendous starts. He's one of the few guys that the Knicks are actually outscoring the Celtics when he's on the floor. Let's get off to a good start.
Which is amazing, given his free throw shooting.
Yes, right, exactly. Makes it even more impressive. So, I don't know. I would set a tone and put him out there in the beginning of the game because, obviously, you know, Tibbs and his starters are a match made in heaven. Those five guys are out there the entire time. I get it. But, I mean, there has to be an adjustment made, especially with the way that Mitch has played outside of the free throw line.
You know, what's amazing is that, you know, Josh Hart, when he got here, he was a guy that came off the bench.
Yeah.
Until there was injuries and there was no other choice but to play him. And, you know, and God bless him because he gives you everything he has every single game. And we love him and respect him. But there may be something that Tibbs can do here. I don't know if he'll do it. I don't know if that, you know, that would probably be drastic. I don't know if Josh Hart even buy into it. That's the whole thing.
Well, I think that Josh Hart's not a guy that I worry about buying in because he's always has. You know, he's whatever he's been asked to do, and I just think it would be an obvious choice. I mean, it's not something you have to defend. It's not something that is insane. It's like, just all right, when this guy's out there, we play better defense and we outscore the other team. When you guys are out there, you're minus 21. It's the first time in NBA history, as you mentioned. Yeah. We got five starters that are minus 20 or worse in a playoff game. So this is what we need to do. Plus, by the way, when he's out there on the floor early on in the game, unless he's going up for a shot, he's not going to get to the free throw line like he would once you're in the bonus towards the end of quarters, towards the end of halves. So, I mean, it's just something I think would help. It's something different. I mean, you don't normally, when you're up 2-1 and at home, wanting to make adjustments, you're usually the team that has been in control, but the Knicks haven't. So it's something that I would consider, and I wouldn't say that it would be drastic at all. But he seems to be able to not let the free throw stuff affect the rest of his game. I mean, he's still out there doing the things he does, but if he could ever step up there and start knocking those things down, man, Knicks would be a different team.
Well, it's not going to happen overnight.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen ever.
If anything, he would have to work on it in the offseason. You know, you read all these articles about having this guy come in, that guy come in. You know, it's too late now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're in a season. He's struggling. We all see it. Everybody feels terrible for him. And there's nothing worse than that. And I just, when he throws that air ball up on Saturday, you know, they're still in the first quarter. This is what I'm talking about, chasing a game. Mm-hmm. This is where the game is now becoming a game that is out of reach.
Yeah.
It was 37-20 at that point. The Celtics come down. You know, it's just now all of a sudden you're chasing a game again. And to credit Joe Mazzulla for doing this and for trying to put him on the line, because they know that every time he's on the line, that's a possession where very few points, if any points, are going to be scored.
Yeah, of course. And we saw in the beginning, J.B. Bickerstaff did it with the Pistons, and now Mazzulla's taking it to a different level. But, I mean, it was almost like there was too much of an exhale from the Celtics and their fan base and everybody associated with them. Like, oh, you know, now we're fine. Now we're back. Now we're going to win the series. No,
man,
stop.
You won one game.
Come on.
I mean, and everybody's And everybody feels terrible about it because of what was going into this game and how many, even Mike Breen was saying, this is the most important game in the last 25 years.
Well, every game now is, because they've been so bad for so long. So, like, the next game is always the most important game. But, I mean, you could go back to late. They were in the second round last year.
But here's the point. I mean, you know, you got the Pacers just ripping through the Cavaliers, which is, you know, this is the team that beat the Knicks last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Knicks, with all the changes they've made this offseason, and with, you know, Minnesota doing what Minnesota's doing now, And you got Knick players all over the place, whether it be Obi Toppin, Hartenstein. I mean, all these guys are all over the place on these other teams making plays. I don't know if you saw this play that Obi Toppin made yesterday. It was unbelievable.
I did not.
But it's just...
It was Mother's Day yesterday.
I know, but it's just... it goes to show you that even when you do make changes and you roll the dice and you go out and get guys that you think have championship DNA. And I do believe that Mikal Bridges has that. I do believe that Ananobi has that. I know that Hart and Brunson have that. I don't know about Carl Anthony Towns just yet. But this is a resilient bunch. I am not down on them. I am not negative on them. They had a bad game on Saturday. I think nerves played a big part of it early in this game. I felt like the first 10 minutes of this game, they were wiped out. I think you and I were texting, in the third quarter?
Yeah.
I said, this game is over.
Yeah.
And you, to your credit, said, no, it's not. They're going to have a great fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah, I said, we need another miracle finish, and we're going to get it. We did not get it.
No.
So.
No. I mean, you weren't going to get it. You could just see, like, the Celtics were completely, on defense, they were great. And I think I felt like they amped up the defense on Brunson, and he didn't handle it very well.
Well, hopefully the Celtics relax now, because they think that they've won the series here, because the way everybody was reacting after this one, I know the Celtics themselves weren't this way, but it was as if, you know, the series was over. All the Celtics had to do was win that one game, blow out the Knicks. Now everything's all right in their world. No, you could still go up 3-1. You still have a home game. For what I agree with you, there was something off. Some whether it was nervousness or whatever was playing tight early in this game at home, which makes no
nervousness
sense.
Nervousness is tight, and
yeah, I know it doesn't make any sense at home. It drives you crazy.
But you also can't give up 71 points and a half. I mean, that's insane.
Of course.
I mean, so, as soon as they hit 60. Yeah. What was it, 63, I think they hit, or 64. I was like, this game is over.
Yeah.
There's just no way that the Knicks are going to be able to come back from this kind of deficit going into halftime and expect to win the second half or either one of those quarters by, you just look at it, you say, there's just no way. They weren't shooting good enough. They had a horrendous three-point shooting night. So they had their bad game. They had the game that, you know, Boston had in game one and game two. So let's hopefully they come back and they improve and they maybe Tibbs will make an adjustment or two, because the Hakimich thing is killing him.
Yep, it definitely is. So ugly day on Saturday, but the great thing about this is you got another opportunity tonight to take a 3-1 lead in the series. Jerry joins us just a couple minutes.